It's good to be with you this morning, and we especially appreciate those who are visiting with us. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. There are a number of words that we use when we're here at the building and in our personal lives, and we use them very often. The word baptism, the word Christian, the word heaven, salvation. And there's another word that we use quite often when we're together, and that's the word church. And I want to answer this morning the question, what is the church? It's always good to go back and make sure that we understand the words that we use. And those of us who are familiar with these things, and older, it's a good reminder. And for our young people coming up, it's good for them to learn what these things mean. What is the church? When Jesus said, I will build my church, what was he building? That's what we want to talk about this morning. We are the church. Who are we? And what does it mean to be the Lord's church? That's what we want to answer this morning, and I'm glad you're here for our study. The church is one foundation. What are we built on? What does it mean to you when you hear that word church? What does it mean to the people we work with and go to school with? The material this morning is also good to help us talk with others out in the world, to help them to understand that biblical concept of what it means. I believe that there are many people who are misinformed and uninformed. They don't know the Bible words in Bible ways, and we can help them to see that. What is the church? Well, it's not a building. Sometimes you'll go down the road and you'll see it'll say church for sale. That always kind of makes me chuckle. Church for sale. They mean a building, of course. Now, a church meets in a building, but a church technically is not a building. And a church is not just some religious denomination out there to distinguish one church from another church, to distinguish one denomination from another denomination. It's not used in that way. Sometimes it is used in the religious world to mean an ecclesiastical government, like the clergy. The church makes rulings on certain things. They mean by that the hierarchy or the leadership. The church is not a social club. It's not like joining the Kiwanis. It's not like joining some organization at school, like the Beta Club. It's not a place for marrying and burying. Some people say, well, I'm going to go to church when I get married, and I'm going to go to church when I get buried. What is the church? That's what we want to consider this morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's see this morning, and let's remind ourselves of this basic concept of the Lord's church. We're going to see this morning four things. We're going to see this morning that the Lord's church are people, number one, who are called out of the world. Number two, they are called out to work. Number three, they are called out to stay out and not go back. And number four, they are called out in order to be called into heaven. What is the church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes 1 Corinthians to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, even them we're beginning to get a hint now of what we're talking about, people. Even them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours. The church of God, which is at Corinth, are sanctified and they are called to be saints. The English word church comes from a Greek word, kuriakos, meaning of or belonging to the Lord. It's used two places in the New Testament. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:20, the supper belonging to the Lord, and the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. Something belonging to the Lord. And what happened was that Greek word, belonging to the Lord, in time came into English. And it came into English from the old German language, and the Germans have a word called Kirk. K-I-R-K-E, Kirk, belonging to the Lord. And from Kirk came church. Sort of sounds the same. What happened was, about 300 A.D., religious people described, when they would go to worship God, they would describe that as the Kirk, the people who belong to the Lord, and that eventually came into English as church. The English word church comes from a word that means belonging to the Lord. But in the New Testament, there was a Greek word that was used, and the translators used that English word church to describe that Greek word, and that is ekklesia, and that's what we want to focus on this morning. It's used 114 times in the New Testament. This word literally means to be called out, ek, out of, enklesis, a calling. And it meant an assembly of people, a congregation of people, not even in a religious sense, but even in the town. If you had a town assembly and people were called together to discuss town matters, and when that assembly was gathered together, it was known as an ekklesia. The Greeks used this word many years before the time of Christ simply to mean an assembly of people, a called out assembly of people. In the New Testament, if you remember in Acts chapter 19, when there was a riot in Ephesus, and the people had come together there in the theater and they were chanting, "Great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians." You remember they were all upset, and Demetrius the silversmith. Luke, when he records the book of Acts, he uses the word ekklesia in Acts 19:32 to describe the assembly there. It's an ekklesia. It's just an assembly of people. It was used in the Old Testament when the Greeks translated the Old Testament in the Septuagint to describe the assembly of the Israelites. So it just simply means an assembly. But when we come to the New Testament, we find that it is a special assembly of people. It's an assembly of God's people who have been called out of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the church of God, which is at Corinth, they are sanctified, which means set apart. They are called to be saints, which means holy or set apart. And so we're beginning to see that what is the church? It is a group of people who have been called out of the world to be different from the world. Brethren, this morning, we are to be different from the world. We live in the world, John 17. We live among the world. We don't physically move out of it, but we don't act like it. We're out of that worldliness. We're out of that sin, and we'll talk about how that happens in just a minute. And in the New Testament, it could mean all Christians everywhere. The church, like Jesus, I will build my church. He's not talking about Warfield Boulevard, a specific group. He's talking about all Christians everywhere. All of these people have been called out of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, when it says that Jesus is the head of the church, He's the head of all Christians everywhere. And then it's used in a local sense of Christians in a certain area. The church of God at Corinth. The church of the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1 and so forth. The seven churches of Asia, Revelation 2 verse 1. Christians who have been called out of the world and they're assembling together in a local congregation. I want us to understand that the word church is describing a very important relationship. It's talking about people who have come out of the world and are right with God. They've been called out of darkness. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. What is the church? It is ekklesia. It is called out. It is a group of people who have accepted the call to come out of the world. And that's quite an accomplishment when you think about the power of darkness that is described here. Colossians 1:13, who, speaking of Jesus, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, or the Father, rather, verse 12, who, the Father, delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The power of darkness. The devil is very powerful, and we know that in the world. Just look at the damage that he's done. And to come out of the power of darkness, you've got to have another power, and that's the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16. And when somebody hears and believes that, that is a very powerful thing. They leave that darkness, and they come into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. The church, then, are people, ordinary people, who are willing to be called out of a very powerful environment. They don't want to live in that world anymore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. To the end that you should walk worthily of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. I don't want to be in the devil's kingdom. I want to be in God's kingdom. And so the church are a group of people who are called out of the world. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are an elect race, chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. Back in Colossians 1:13, the power of darkness, we see darkness again here, called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The church are those who are called out of the world. And so when we talk with others about the church, we're talking with them about a relationship. They are no longer in a relationship with the devil and darkness, but they are in a relationship. They've come out of that, and they want to be in God's kingdom of light. And the way that happens is that God calls them through the gospel. Now, God could call people in a number of different ways. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God could speak personally to someone if He wanted to. In fact, in Bible times, He did. There were times when He spoke directly to people. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. But today, He speaks to us through His Son. So, we don't need to be waiting for a dream or a vision or God speaking to me in my ear. That's not how He calls us out of this darkness. He calls us by using the gospel message. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 13, that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you, underscore this, through our gospel. to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He could have used a number of means, but he chose through the gospel. So, we're beginning to see then that God sent the gospel to call people out of the world. You know, when you turn to the book of Acts, for example, you find in the book of Acts individuals who were willing, beginning in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, to listen to that call and come out of that darkness. And so Peter says in the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this crooked generation. You're out there in a world that is crooked and gone wrong. Get out of that. And some 3,000 did by repenting and being baptized. We need to come out of the world. And that's what the church is. Jesus talked about this before he ascended back into heaven. Turn with me to John chapter 15 on the night of his betrayal. Some final instructions that he gives the disciples there in John 13 through 17. It's a great sermon that he gives to the disciples as they're leaving the upper room and going through town over into the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John chapter 15, for example, we find this very thing. John 15, 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's the whole point of the church. To call people out of the world. And God uses the gospel to do that. Not voices, not dreams, not visions, but that gospel that you're holding in your hand. The church is the called out of the world people. But when you look in the New Testament, you find that these people who are called out of the world, called out of sin and darkness, they're not called out just simply to do nothing. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 when Paul addresses the church of the Thessalonians, and let's learn a second principle about the church, and that is the church is called out, and number two, it is called out in order to do the Lord's work. I remember when I was young growing up, a lot of times, especially in the spring and summer when Dad was outside working, maybe mowing or in the garden or something like that, and Dad would yell real loud, "Boys, come out here!" Now, he wasn't mad, he was just, you know, emphasizing, "Y'all need to get out here." And when we got out, when he called us out, what did we do? He had some work planned for us. "I need your help cutting the grass. I need your help hoeing the garden row there and get the weeds out." When we're called out of the world, we're not called out just simply to do nothing or to sit or to coast. We're called out to begin to work and worship for the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians. The church. What is the church? Well, here's an example of the local sense. Christians who are called out of the world in a particular locality, the Thessalonica. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, the church, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. Paul is addressing the church and he says, your work of faith. The Lord's church means to be called out of the world and to be called out to begin to have a work of faith and labor of love. That's why as Christians we have to stay busy. There are two areas that I want to talk about this morning. First of all, we're called out so that we can worship God. And that's what we're doing here today. And we have to keep in mind that it's very important in our modern society of conveniences and other kinds of things going on, that we still need to come to worship and we still need to be busy doing the Lord's work. Long before the pandemic and COVID, probably the past 10 years, I've been hearing about virtual church. Virtual church. And there is a stress now in our modern community and in our modern world to be church at home. Well, remember, it's an assembly. Well, can we have a virtual assembly? Well, that's not what is being taught in the New Testament. It's warm-bodied persons being in the same place. And so we always must be careful that we don't slump into this idea that church is just sort of a mental concept. We are to be worshiping and working for the Lord. And be careful about the online technology, and that becomes our church. In the New Testament, individuals assembled together, and we must continue to do that today, for teaching, for singing, for the Lord's Supper, for the contribution, for praying. There are times when we say that we are providentially hindered. We understand that. But when those times pass and we can get back to normal, we need to be working and worshiping for the Lord. This church at Thessalonica had a work of faith and a labor of love. In the New Testament, there were teachers in the church at Antioch, Acts 13:1. There was singing in the assembly, Hebrews 2:12. There was the Lord's Supper when they were assembled together, 1 Corinthians 11:22. There was the contribution in the assembly, in the Lord's church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16:1. There was praying in the church, Acts 12:5. These are all things that were done in the assembly. And then the second thing I want to talk about is not only worship, but work, working. When Dad called us out, when he called us out of the house, he didn't say, "I want y'all to come out here and then do nothing." He called us out, and a lot of times it involved putting a rake in my hand, putting a shovel in my hand, putting a weed eater in my hand. Here you go. We're called out to engage in a work of faith and a labor of love. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, Phoebe is described as a servant of the church. A servant of the church. That means that as the church, we are working and worshiping together. We all have different talents. We all have different things that we can do. But we all need to be doing something. And so there were three works that the church did in the New Testament times and that we need to do today. They evangelized the lost. They edified or built up those who were already saved. They were benevolent toward needy saints. When there were times when brethren were needy and needed help monetarily, they helped them. And number four, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that sometimes they engaged in what we call church discipline together. But they stayed active and they stayed working. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why we have to keep evangelizing and supporting that. The churches were strengthened in the faith, Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 16. That's why we have to keep edifying and building up members of the church. The churches of Macedonia gave to the needy saints in Judea. That's why we have to keep being benevolent. And from time to time we make announcements. And I will talk with you about needs that I hear
in other places around the world, because we have to keep being active in that work.
The church is called out to work. And all of this is done by good leadership, which I'm glad that we have in the elders. There are many local churches. I've been associated with some in the past, maybe you have, that are not fortunate enough to have elders. And we would hope that men would work toward that. But we're blessed to have elders and leaders. That's how the work gets done. God not only gave the local church a work, but He gave the leadership to help accomplish that work, where they are guiding, planning, and my understanding is that we're going to hear from them some this evening, which is good, on planning out things for this year, and I appreciate that. But elders were ordained in every church, Acts 14:23, for the purpose of having that leadership to carry out that work. They're planning it. They're communicating it. They're encouraging it. They're supporting it. Because the church is called out to work. Let's do all that we can here at Warfield Boulevard. We've come out of that world. We don't want to have anything to do with that darkness. It is darkness. And when you look at our world today and our society, there are some very dark forces at work. It's terrible. And we don't want to have anything to do with that. We have come out of that. And after we've come out of that, let's stay busy, brethren, worshiping and working together. And even during difficult and challenging times, always ask ourselves, what can I be doing to help my fellow brethren at Warfield Boulevard stay busy, worshiping and working and doing the Lord's service? Called out to work. And the leadership that we have in the eldership helps us to mature and work together. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. When Christ ascended on high, He gave through His Word the means by which the local church would have leadership. Some of these men were for the first century. When we come down to verse 11 and we talk about the evangelist and the pastors who are the elders, they're still for us today. And why was that given? Why were those men given? Verse 11. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministry. Those men are given so that they, in maturing us, teaching us, telling us what to do, it makes us work. And let's get in behind them and do that great work in this community. Let's talk up the work. Let's talk to each other and encourage each other with regard to evangelism, edification, and benevolence. And when it came time to do that work and that worship, there was a pattern that was given. And since we've been studying in 1 Corinthians, I wanted to remind us of these four passages. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. This is very important. What is the work that we're supposed to do? What is the worship that we're supposed to do? Do we look out in the religious world and model it after them? No, we have a pattern where Paul and the other apostles told local churches everywhere what to do. And elders following that pattern, members of the church following that pattern, we know what is the scriptural work and worship of the church. 1 Corinthians 4:17, Timothy had been sent to Corinth, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways. That's what we call approved apostolic authority. The remembrance of my ways which are in Christ. Look at this.
even as I teach everywhere in every church. That lets us know that there are some things that are to be everywhere and in every church. What is that? That's what we call the five acts of worship and the three works of the church. That's everywhere in every church. That's our pattern for today. Look at chapter 7 and verse 17. And so I ordain in all the churches. There are some things, brethren, in the New Testament that form a uniformity, a uniform pattern. And it's to be in every church. Look at chapter 14, verses 33 and 34 with regard to women keeping silent in the church. And it's a particular kind of silence. It's a silence that involves not speaking to a mixed assembly. So women speaking to a mixed assembly, they're to keep silent in that particular context and look at it as in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silence. For it is not permitted for them to speak in all the churches. That's a uniform pattern. And then look at chapter 16 and verse 1 with regard to the collection for the saints. As I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. This is for all the churches. So there was an apostolic pattern that was followed in doing the work and worship of the church. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at the third thing with regard to the church. We are called out of the world. Number two, we are called out to work. And number three, we are called out to stay out. We don't need to go back into the world. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul is talking about the husband-wife relationship and comparing that to the Christ-church relationship, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 that he, Christ, might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's right now. Jesus wants, like a holy bride, like a bride who comes, a bride wears white, often to portray purity. And just as a husband would want a pure bride, so Christ wants, what kind of a church there? A church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We're called out to stay out. We're called out to stay out. In the New Testament, with regard to the church, we find that the New Testament stresses holiness. We're called saints, for example, Romans 1:7. We're called children of God. We are called into fellowship, into one body. The New Testament church is described as walking in the fear of the Lord, Acts 9:31. It's a pure church. Sometimes today, and we have to be very careful, in religion in general, and maybe in a local church of Christ, the concept of a church has become cheapened. Where anybody can live any way they want. You can be a member of this church and you can engage in this sin or that sin. Nobody really does anything about it. We're called out to stay out, and we are to be a church that is without spot or blemish. That means we stay out of that world that we came from. There are people who claim to be leaders in churches and members of churches, and we find that there is sin in their personal lifestyle. We have to be mindful of that. We're called to be saints. That means
set apart. We're called to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. We are to walk worthily of the calling wherewith we are called. That means we are to walk meeting that high standard. To walk worthily of the calling means to walk in a way that matches the high standard of Christian living. Now, if and when we sin, and a Christian will do that, there's a way to get out of that. But we're not to be like in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, shall we sin that grace may abound? We're going to stay away from that world. And I want our young people especially, and old alike, but our young people especially understand that when you're baptized into Christ, you become a member of the church. You're called out of that world. Stay worshiping, stay working, but don't go back into that world. We've got to stay out. We are called for holiness. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7 with regard to the context of sexual immorality. And we're in a world today that stresses that so much in our music and movies and Hollywood and video games and other kinds of things. Sexual immorality is everywhere in our world. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7, God called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. So we've been called out of the world, let us stay out. Don't listen to music that is worldly. Don't watch movies that are worldly. Don't play games, video games and things like that, that promote worldliness. We're to stay out after we've left it. We're not to go back in. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Do you remember how Peter describes a Christian who goes back into the world? 2 Peter 2, verse 20. For if after they, Christians, have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God calls us through the gospel, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment. Look at that, the holy commandment, or to be separate from the world, delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit and the sow that has washed to wallowing in the mire. And if we spent some time this morning exploring vomit and mire a little bit, we would be reminded of how disgusting those things are. And yet that's what's happening when a Christian goes back into that place from which he was called out of. Let's stay out. And as parents, we have to work hard. We have to work hard. We have to be vigilant. There's always something coming up, some new thing coming up where we have to say to our kids, okay, be mindful of such and such. And young people, I want you to understand with regard to us as parents, it's challenging sometimes. You'll be that way one day. You'll grow up and you'll be a parent one day and you'll understand how hard it is. It's hard sometimes. But we do that because we want to stay away from that place that we came out of. We don't want to go back to that. And so we're called out to stay out. And then last of all, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. What is the church? It is an assembly of people who have been called out of the world through the gospel, a very dark place. And they are busy working and worshiping for the Lord. They're not going to go back into that world because one day they want to be called into another assembly. And that is the assembly that is going to be in heaven of all the righteous of all time. Ecclesia, or church,
is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's Christians born again, John 3, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant. It's a contrast between, if you back up to verse 18, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, and they received some things there. The writer of Hebrews is saying Christians, in contrast to coming to a physical mountain, Christians come to spiritual blessings and things. And one of those things is that when we become a Christian, we become a member of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's ultimately where we're going. We have lessons sometimes on the Lamb's Book of Life, or our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name is enrolled in heaven. And we're reminded in Scripture that we have one hope of our calling. Our calling, called out of the world, we're called into heaven. We have a hope of heaven, and we've got to keep our eyes focused on that. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, it's called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's called a heavenly calling in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. What is the church? It is a group of people who are living the way God wants them to live, because one day we want to be called into heaven. And we keep focused on that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it's called a glorious calling. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it's called a calling to eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it's a calling to inherit a blessing, which is ultimately heaven. Are you headed to heaven this morning? Am I headed to heaven this morning? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll close with this. In the judgment day, all nations will be gathered together, and we want to be on the side of the righteous because we want to hear this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit. What is that? That's an invitation. That's a calling to come in and inherit heaven. That's what we want to hear in the judgment day. What is the church? In the world today, that word church, like baptism and other Bible words, has been misunderstood and misused. And I hope this morning we've been reminded of what it really means. An ecclesia, called out of the world, called out to be working and worshiping, busy, and the more we're busy, the more faithful we are. Called out to stay out. In any temptation or worldliness that tries to pull us back and drag us back in, we're going to say no to that. And there are going to be those things from day to day where the devil is saying, "Can I get you back in?" The devil doesn't want you to become a Christian, but if you do, he wants to get you to come back where he was. And we're going to say no to that, because we're called out to stay out. And we're living as faithful as we can, because we want to hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." We want to be called in to that glorious heaven. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment. And God is calling yet is our invitation song. He still calls today through the gospel. Will you accept that invitation? There may be someone here this morning that needs to accept that call and be baptized and come out of that world of sin. There may be a Christian here that has felt like they've been pulled back into the world and living like the world, and you want to make that change. We can pray together and help you to make that change. But let's be that church that God wants us to be. Not in any kind of misunderstood way today, but understanding what Christ says in His word for us. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?